gets colder. My eyes goes thin as I get older. Piece in pieces, bloody and bruised. I feel so helpless and confused. Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live my life. Cause I can't stop the war. Shelter homeless, feed the poor. I can't walk on water. I can't save your sons and daughters. Well, I can't change the world and make things fair. The least that I can do, the least that I can do, the least that I can do is care.
Good afternoon. This is Evelyn Pringle, and welcome to Focus on the Facts. My guest today is Kevin Galloway, a Canadian human rights activist, author, and historian. Today is his second interview on the show, and he agreed to come back another time. So his first interview was a couple weeks ago, and last week was Memorial Day, so he's coming on today. Kevin is probably the most informed and experienced expert in the world with knowledge on the United Nations Global Depopulation Agenda and genocide, along with the covert chemical and biological agents that have been used since 1945. He is currently on a hunger strike in Rome, trying to convince the Pope to refrain from his moral and material support for the depopulation genocide on people around the world by the United Nations and executive branches of government. Kevin says that the nearly seven decades of covert chemical and biological agents used on the general public to engineer a global population decline have succeeded in preventing the birth of 2 billion children and causing the premature death of at least 500 million people. I've posted many of Kevin's videos and prior interviews on other radio shows on my Facebook page for people interested in learning more about this agenda. And he is the author of several books, including Peace Without Poison and The Future of Global Governments, which can be purchased online. Listeners can also read his downloadable book, Killing Us Softly, Causes and Consequences of the Global Depopulation Policy. Today we'll cover the biological methods of population control, which will include vaccines, GMOs, and man-made pandemics and epidemics. And we'll also discuss the chemical methods being used, including fluoride, endocrine disruptors, and the chemtrails we see sprayed across our skies. I find the biggest problem with stopping this depopulation agenda is the resistance by the people to believe this evil program exists and to accept the reality of what is being done to all of us. Earlier today, I was listening to Kevin doing an interview on the Richie Allen Show, and Richie asked him whether there was ever a point after he realized that this depopulation agenda was happening when Kevin thought he was losing his mind. And right away, I thought I sure did. When I learned about it 9 months ago, I definitely questioned my sanity several times. So I'll bring Kevin on now so he'll explain the three phases of the global depopulation that have occurred since 1945 and to tell us about how the central depopulation measures were set up through the UN and the reasonings behind it. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you for having me for a second time, Evelyn, on my 54th day of hunger strike here in Rome.
How are you feeling?
Well, I feel surprisingly well, considering that I have lost 47 pounds to date, and during this time I have walked over 400 miles as well. I have bouts of dizziness, and I get tired more easily now, so I have to take it easier. But otherwise, I'm in good health.
Okay. Do you think you're making any progress?
Yes, absolutely. But as with anything on these issues of global governance and geopolitical importance, the result of any action comes with a delay. Simply because this is a global program, it requires global coordination. Any changes would have to be delegated from the United Nations. They would have to be done by consensus, and that takes a lot of time, as you can imagine. So you have to be patient when you're dealing with the global governing structure. But to start with your first point, which is the three phases of the global depopulation program, since we only have 1 hour, I better get going. And yes, the three phases of this engineered global population control program. The first one is to ensure that the total fertility rate of every country on Earth, that is to say the number, the average number of children per woman, decreases to below 2 or 2.1 children, which is the so-called replacement level fertility. And when that happens, the population then becomes stable. In other words, every couple, they just replace themselves by having two children. And in this fashion, countries can live within their natural resources. They don't have to start wars of aggression. And that goal is basically accomplished in most countries throughout the world, with the exception of about 30 or 40 African countries and a few Asian countries that you can count on your fingers. Program, or rather period, was wrapped up at the end of the 20th century. It started in 1945, right after the Second World War, and the intention was to wrap it up by the end of the 20th century, and they didn't quite succeed, but they're almost there. The second phase is that of the stabilization phase, and the overarching goal of this phase is to ensure that the global population does not exceed 9 or 10 billion people. That it, in other words, that it peaks by the middle of this century at the latest, at the most 10 billion people. And that's because that is about the maximum number of people that the Earth can feed, given the existing agriculture and land and yields per hectare. And they're employing every and any method possible of population control to ensure that they accomplish this goal by the middle of the 21st century of this century. And the last phase of the global depopulation program is the controlled population decline phase, or the optimal population. So they will try to attain a global optimal population, which has been calculated to be at 4.5 billion. Given the existing land mass, natural resources, and per capita consumption. Should we manage to conceive, better technologies and come up with better use of resources, I'm sure that the planet can probably accommodate sustainably a little bit more people than that. But with the existing technology and per capita consumption, that's the maximum. So that means that between the year 2050, when the population will peak at around 10 billion, and the next 50 to 100 years, the population will steadily decline by more than half. And you can imagine that is a completely unnatural process, and it will severely harm all of us. Those are the three phases of the global depopulation policy.
Okay. Well, where are we at now? Well, you know, one thing that bothers me, you know, when, one of their reasons for this depopulation agenda, and they said, you know, so that it will stop aggressive wars and genocide to wars, is that now we're sitting here and it seems like that preventing, you know, peace preservation and preventing wars of aggression seems to have been eliminated. I mean, the U.S. is committing blatant genocide in countries all over the world. I mean, Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, Libya, Syria, all over Africa, with millions upon millions of people being murdered in plain sight or forced to become refugees, with many people drowning while trying to escape the U.S.-supported wars and violence, and the U.N. does nothing to stop it. Now it appears that the U.S. and NATO are going to provoke the world into a nuclear war, and the U.N. is doing nothing to stop them. So all these years of you know, all these methods being used on us and you know, to counter us reproducing and the genocide and things, it's like they did it all for nothing, because it's coming to the point where it looks like the U.S. will blow up this world anyhow.
Well, the overarching goal was to prevent a global war, another world war that would this time become nuclear and therefore devastating. And they have succeeded in this respect. There has not been another world war, and we have certainly averted a nuclear confrontation. And even if it comes to all of the...
We're aiming all our nuclear weapons at Russia right on their borders as we speak.
Yes, but they haven't been used, and that's what the population control program is. It is the obverse and invisible side of nuclear deterrence. They have waged war on people's fertility and longevity in order to avoid a nuclear confrontation. And even if you count all of the wars that have happened since 1945, and there have been many indeed, both numerically and proportionally, the number of victims or casualties is minuscule compared to the number of casualties generated by the two world wars. And you have to also keep in mind that devastation and destruction in the era of covert depopulation and coerced globalization, which is the matrix of control, the nature of the system since 1945, is not done by war, but by structural violence. In other words, conventional war waged between nations has been replaced by structural violence, by covert chemical and biological means within nations. Governments wage war on their own people's fertility and longevity in order to avoid having to wage wars of necessity, conventional wars of necessity between countries. That is the progress, if you want, that we have made since the previous international accommodation, which was based on the might of the most powerful, who would take by force whatever they wanted to, which is what the European nations did through their colonial system. So we have made some progress, and now it's time to make another leap forward, because the existing system certainly does not work anymore. The number of victims generated by this program of covert population through chemical and biological means has become more devastating than a conventional war would be, certainly not more devastating than a nuclear war would be, because that would be the final nail in the coffin for all of us. But there's no question that this system of covert depopulation should have been replaced sometimes in the 1980s. And the best example is the Chinese. You know, the Chinese have waged on their people a covert chemical war for 10 years from 1968 to 1978, and then they were smart enough to replace it with legislation. So they've legislated limits on the number of children, which is what we should have done in the 1980s as well, but it is the nature of our society. This has prevented us from doing that. Certain structural obstacles that stood in the way, and one of them being the intractability of religious authorities, which is why I'm here in Rome. And the other one, of course, the democratic process, which could not be bypassed, since nobody would vote into office a president who would advocate for population control. Those were the realities of the Western world, and the political systems has circumvented them. In order to be able to wage war on fertility and longevity for the sake of controlling population growth.
Right. And you say there's a letter from the Vatican that basically, you know, told people that they won't go along with sterilizing people and this kind of thing. But could you explain that letter more? And then I know what it says. And then after you explain it, tell us more about what poisonous pharma products that the Vatican is allowing people to use, you know, that they say they're okay if they're causing, you know, sterility and things, but that they cure and prevent diseases. So the Vatican allows them to use them and the harm that they're causing, these products?
Yes. Yes. The letter you are referring to is an encyclical letter. It is called Humanae Vitae, which means human life in Latin. And it is subtitled On the Regulation of Birth. It was published in 1968, but it is based on a decision made earlier in 1953. In this letter, there is a paragraph called Paragraph 15, titled Lawful Therapeutic Means, which outlines the conditions under which the Vatican considers causing sterility acceptable, legal. This is the loophole, the ethical loophole, if you want, that our highest, the highest moral authority in Christendom has created so that secular governments could pursue population control or could commit genocide, if you want, with the consent of the highest moral authority in Christendom. So the program of covert depopulation rests on these four lines in paragraph 15 of the encyclical letter Humanae Vitae. And these four lines say, and I quote, "On the other hand, the Church does not consider at all illicit the use of those therapeutic means necessary to cure bodily diseases, even if a foreseeable impediment to procreation should result therefrom, provided such impediment is not directly intended for any motive whatsoever." End of the quote. In other words, the Vatican says to secular authorities, okay, you can cause sterility and infertility if in the process, you do it in the process of curing a disease or another. And that is acceptable. And this is why ever since governments have tried to find pretexts under which to cause sterility, and that is why public health and medicine have become perverted by this this international security prerogative of population control, and why governments pursue sterilization under the pretext of curing this or that disease. And they do so under the cover of plausible deniability. In other words, they know very well that, you know, water fluoridation, for instance, has absolutely nothing to do with preventing tooth decay, but with sterilizing the population under the pretext of preventing tooth decay. And that is the same with all methods of population control, from GMOs to pesticides, all kinds of medicines and so on, which we will cover along the way here. Right. And, of course, the Vatican or the Holy See has given secular authorities this this permission because they realized that, and they have always known, because the Vatican has waged war on has controlled population growth in Europe for over 1,000 years, they are the original architects of the population control program, and I describe that in several of my papers, which are truly revolutionary because they reveal an aspect of Western society which has been hidden for so long. But the Vatican knows better than anybody that any given population, regardless of culture, geography, the political system, and so on, would double every 20 to 30 years, and within two generations would always outgrow existing resources, because no economy can outpace the growth of the population. And since we're now at the very limits of what the planet can give, there is simply nowhere to grow. You cannot increase agricultural production. You cannot increase, you know, the number of acres farmed, and so on. There are no new continents to discover. So the time came to control population growth at the beginning of this century by any and all means, which is what they did. They started around 1902 in England a few years earlier, and they started with vaccines that were sterilizants. So they were vaccinating people under the pretext of curing or preventing this or that disease, while in the process setting them up for low fertility. And
so
this methodology
is
returning.
I mean, the Vatican knows this because it wasn't very long ago I wrote an article about in Kenya, the bishops were telling people to avoid the vaccines that they were bringing in, you know, to vaccinate them. I think it was against tetanus or something. And they tested it, and yes, there were sterilizing agents in those. And they were giving them, and what they found odd, too, they were making sure they gave them to young women and little girls, these vaccines.
Yeah, that is just, the bishops of Nigeria bringing out that information, which is, by the way, pilfered from my work. I released that information first. This is just one of the gestures that the Vatican does in order to pretend that it is protecting the people when, you know, they have been, not only have they been part and parcel of the global depopulation program from the very beginning, they are its original architects, and they are the moral authority that that keeps this program in place. So, the bits and pieces of information that they release every now and then is just to preserve the facade that the Vatican protects our interests and our lives when that is certainly not the case. All, and I'm saying this with absolute certainty now because I put them all to the test, all authorities, be they secular or religious, are involved in the global genocide, and they exist solely for the purpose of pursuing and completing the so-called engineered demographic transition, which is the engineered population depopulation program that started in 1945 as a global program coordinated through the United Nations. And for certain Western nations, it started even earlier in the early 1900s. That is the brutal reality, and this reality is dictated by the limits of planet Earth and the fact that we have long reached and exceeded those limits, and there's nowhere to go, nowhere to grow.
Right. But you said this morning that, or on that Richie Allen show, that there was all the countries in the United Nations are in on this, but there was four countries that won't participate, wouldn't agree to participate. What were those four countries?
So these are Mali, Niger, Somalia, and Somaliland. And as you can see, these are very troubled countries, and that is
great.
You know, I wrote a book called Peace Without Poison, which is over 1,000 pages long, and details the stage at which every country on Earth is along this engineered depopulation program. And the only four countries that have so far resisted participating are these four: Mali, Niger, Somalia, and Somaliland. And of course, they have all fallen into the poverty trap, because this is what happens to any country that does not control population growth. It falls into the poverty trap, and then into war, and then the war spills into neighboring nations, and they become a threat to regional peace and stability. So these four are in the so-called stage one of the demographic transition. In other words, they have not yet started to control their population. If you go through the list in my book, you'll find 46 nations and one territory are in stage two. That means they've just started doing this. And then 60 nations and four territories are in stage three. That means they're in the middle of the program of population control. Then you have 62 nations and 14 territories in stage four, which means that they have already stabilized their populations. And 29 nations are in stage five, which means that their populations are already declining.
It is actually
in stage five. Its population has been declining, but because of heavy immigration, it appears that it is in stage four. So they're compensating for their low fertility rates by pumping in a lot of immigrants, and that keeps the population still growing steadily at about 1% or so per year, which is very good for the economy, and that's the only reason they do it. And this, the same with Western nations, by the way, European nations.
Okay.
The entire immigration program has absolutely nothing to do with helping countries and people in trouble, but with helping themselves by offsetting the mistakes or the damage they have done to fertility because of the use of covert chemical and biological methods of population control. And that way they cover up these mistakes, and they ensure that they receive just enough people to so that the economy is in good shape. That's the brutal reality of the world today.
Since your last interview, I was stopping and thinking about the population in this country, and I was amazed when I thought over my life, my family and friends and things, and the size of their family, and then realized that some of these families, like this one that had six children, and the grandparents only had two grandchildren out of those six children. The other children
Yes.
had none, and I thought of other families too, and it's the same thing. A lot of them have none. You know, and when you explained all the different methods that they're using to sterilize people and to make them infertile, it makes sense, because these aren't families where these kids didn't want children. Mm-hmm. They just don't have them. You know, and it's
Yes.
just amazing. I never stopped and thought about it before, But I went over and thought of so many families, and it was like, I can't believe this. This is what happened.
Nearly a quarter of all genetic lineages in the West, and I'm talking North America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, you know, all in Japan, and it's even worse in places like Hong Kong and Singapore. Nearly a quarter of all genetic lineages have been terminated. That is okay. Either because people have been rendered sterile, and almost 25%, so almost a quarter of our females in the Western world are sterile, and 80%, that's 8 out of 10 males, have substandard sperm throughout the Western world. This is how devastating this program has been. And that's in, up to my generation. I'm 50 years old. So the upcoming generation now that is just entering their reproductive years, nearly half of them are sterile. So the population collapse, it's going to become far more obvious, and it has accelerated to such an extent that it cannot be covered up, even with this huge influxes of immigrants, which, by the way, this is the very purpose of this huge influx of Middle Easterners into Europe, to offset the drastic population decline, which is causing economic havoc. Take a look at Germany alone. Germany needs 700,000 new immigrants every year just to offset its natural decline. 700,000 people, that's almost, a million people. So you can imagine that, even if that were doable culturally, it is impossible to absorb, to assimilate that many people in such a short time on an annual basis. So they have completely overshot their targets, which is why now the population is decreasing so fast. And they have overshot their targets because when you poison the water and you poison the food, the damage you cause is obviously, much of it is unintended. So as they try to target only the reproductive system, of course you cannot target it in isolation. The reproductive system is part of the endocrine system. And as you poison the endocrine system, you do damage to the entire human physiognomy. You damage absolutely every function of the body, which is why this attack on fertility, this so-called demographic transition, has caused the increase in chronic disease, or non-communicable disease. So it has caused the so-called epidemiologic transition. In other words, as they have subverted fertility and damaged fertility, they have increased morbidity and mortality, which is why now throughout the Western world, 60%, that's 6 out of 10 people, suffer from chronic illness that is caused entirely by this multi-generational chronic program of poisoning through chemical and biological methods that started in 1945 in certain countries and throughout the Western world in the 1950s. And now we are in the mess that we're in.
Now it's insane in this country. I mean, let's talk a little bit more about these vaccines. You know, they're trying to roll out mandatory vaccines for everything in this country, for everyone. You know, talk about what's in those vaccines and what they're doing to us. And they do not cure diseases. They do not.
I can tell you that these vaccines use, first of all, never mind what's in them. This is, you know, it's I'm really not an expert to discuss what is in them, but I can tell you the scientific basis on which they devastate our ability to procreate as well as our immune system, because as they try to control population, they do it from both ends of life, by preventing births, so by subverting fertility, and also by accelerating death, in other words, by promoting morbidity. And that's how you that's how they reach their targets of, you know, just the right number of deaths per year and the right number of births per year per 1,000 people, which is 10. That's the target they try to accomplish, 10 births and 10 deaths per every 1,000 people. So they're dealing with us as the way a farmer would deal with his cattle or sheep. We're treated no better or no worse than cattle on the farm, with the exact same methods too, by the way, but just, you know, very well conceived, concealed, so that we remain oblivious to the reality. But the vaccines, this generation of vaccines that they use nowadays is a complete different beast than the vaccines that they used in the past. So never mind, you know, the aluminum that they have in them and the aborted fetus parts and so on. What these vaccines do is they tamper with the genetic modulation of apoptosis. Apoptosis is the ability of cells to kill themselves by activating an intrinsic cell suicide program when they're no longer needed or become seriously damaged. This is a natural process of renewal, if you want, in the body. And by disrupting this process, the genetic modulation of apoptosis, they disrupt or delete genes that are crucial to spermatogenesis, the production of sperm, for instance, in males. By depriving these genes of hormones that are crucial to normal sexual development and reproductive function, hormones such as gonadotropin and testosterone. And scarcity of these hormones results in infertility through this accelerated germ cell death. For instance, they target the HSP70/2 gene, which plays a crucial role in meiosis. It's a dramatic increase in spermatocyte apoptosis, and they achieve that by targeting this gene, and that is how they cause male infertility, but they do not disrupt female fertility. So they can accomplish very, very specific targets by programming, genetically reprogramming our bodies, and they can do this through childhood vaccines, which is why and through any kind of vaccines, which is why they're so keen on having these continuous vaccination programs so that they have access to our bodies and they can accomplish, you know, their demographic objectives through this this genetic means. And why are they...
What are they doing to the elderly? What are these vaccines doing to the elderly? What are they doing to their system?
Well, for the elderly are being whacked... especially so, because during the last stage of the demographic transition, when you have too many old, you have over 20% of the population above 65, and you have less than 22% of the population above below 15, and you don't have enough people in between, working people to support these the elderly and the young. You have these, you know, huge dependency burdens on governments, and they're going bankrupt, they're going in the red. So the onus of their effort is to get rid of the elderly as fast as possible to make sure that they don't live very long after retirement, because everybody is entitled nowadays to retirement funds, to pensions, and governments simply cannot pay these pensions when during this stage of the demographic transition when there are too many elderly and too few young people. So until the population stabilizes, they're in real serious trouble, and the focus is on getting rid, on killing the elderly as fast as possible. And they're doing this particularly through through flu vaccines and through chemtrails. The flu vaccines, of course, they are biannual or annual for this very reason, and they are free for this reason. Whenever the government gives you something free, you can, you know, stick your hand in the fire that it has a population control purpose. Governments don't give anything for free. The flu vaccine is for this and this purpose only. It provides no immunity whatsoever against the flu, which the flu virus mutates, you know, and there are hundreds of various flu viruses. You can never possibly immunize against it, and it's forever mutating. But the sole purpose of the flu vaccine is to kill the elderly faster. And that is, they do it through this, and they do it by increasing the presence of heavy metals in the environment through chemtrail spraying, which, by the way, the primary role of chemtrails is to delay climate global warming. But the secondary purpose is to increase the heavy presence of metals in the environment so as to speed up morbidity and to kill the baby boom generation faster in order to complete the demographic transition in developed countries, which have reached their last stage, and now they have too many elderly. That is, right. You know, this dual-pronged approach is how they are getting rid of the elderly.
Right, and all of these,
which is, by the way, elderly, which is why we see now an increase, an 11% increase in the death rate among elderly in Italy, for instance, 6% increase in the UK, 20% increase in Romania, and it's like this across the board. So the program is working beautifully as far as they're concerned. They're bumping off the elderly at a at an unprecedented rate. These are actually death rates that have not been seen since the Second World War, and we all know the depredations of the Second World War. This is the exact same thing, but they accomplished this through structural violence and not through conventional war.
Right. And then all these elderly getting Alzheimer's and dementia. Mm. This is caused by the chemtrails and the vaccine things, isn't it?
Yes,
I mean,
and also,
in this
also
country, it's like one in three elderly now get Alzheimer's or dementia. This was unheard of when I was a child.
Absolutely. It is the cumulative effect of 60 years of use of chemical methods. Of course, it started with fluoride. Fluoridation, you know, did a lot of damage and continues to do a lot of damage. But in the meantime, there are over 160 endocrine disruptors in our food and beverage system as well as consumer products, all of them depopulation poisons. And all of them have a negative effect on human health, on the endocrine system. And, of course, part of that means early onset dementia, Alzheimer's, so neurodegenerative illnesses. As that's what the damage that we see in the elderly. In the young, we see developmental illness, which is, you know, the same thing, but that affecting the young, who obviously, when you poison the water and you poison the food and you poison consumer products, nobody is protected. Everybody is fair game. We're all targets of this program. Nobody escapes it. And the children are very vulnerable because they get damaged in their mother's wombs during the process of gestation, the 9 months, and during the first 5 years of life. And when that happens, the damage is irreversible. Not only is the damage irreversible, and it results in the downgrading of the genetic and intellectual endowment of humanity, but the damage caused gets passed down from one generation to the next. And from one generation to the next, we see a degradation, a further degradation of the intellectual and genetic endowment of humanity. So the damage that they have done for the past three generations is incalculable, and it erases millennia of evolution. So what nature has succeeded in doing by, you know, creating us as the epitome of creation, we're damaging now, or our governments are damaging now, are destroying millions of years of evolution. They're doing this in just three generations.
Right, right. Well, in this country, you know, these vaccines have been poisoning our kids for so long, and there's so many of them, so they just get hammered with them. And now I think it's like 39 vaccines before the age of three, something like this. And I was watching videos the other day of them giving these vaccines, and it is child abuse. It is outright child abuse. These babies are screaming and traumatized. I mean, and that's bad enough, but the damage they are causing in this country, the rate of autism is just unbelievable. And again, when I was a child, I'm 65, so in the 50s when I was growing up, autism didn't exist. I mean, nowhere that we saw that. I mean, yeah, I guess the first cases or something started back in, I forget if it was the 30s or 40s, I think, there was a few cases, and that was when they were working with mercury and things like this. But, you know, when I started investigating vaccines and I started thinking, well, they said that that it was always here, we just didn't notice it. And I went back and I grew up in a town of 2,000 people, and I figured out we should have had 7 kids with autism there. And there was not any. There was not any. There was one school from 12th grade to senior. And we had an ungraded room, and kids like that had Down syndrome or slightly retarded or something were in there, but there was none with autism. I mean, where these kids can't talk, they never get trained. There was no kids like this. So, you know, that's what convinced me. That was the point that convinced me that they were right, that these vaccines were causing it. Well, it is. I started writing about it in 2003, and it's gotten so much worse now, you know. And these kids, well, that was great for depopulation because these kids will not reproduce. It's like 1 in 48 kids now in this country end up with autism. Mm. And they keep giving these vaccines, and the parents won't listen, you know, and it is so scary. But again, they succeeded because these kids won't recreate other kids. So that's done. They do that to those kids, and that's over.
Yeah, well, half of us have been scheduled for annihilation, and they are right on target. Actually, they will exceed the targets. And now, my every indication appears to be that the system is in such a panic because they realize that people have started to realize they have been committing genocide for the past 60 years, and that the damage they have caused now is becoming, you know, impossible to cover up. They are in panic mode, and they seem hell-bent on eliminating all of us from the face of the planet in order to save their own lives. They know that there is going to be retribution on a massive scale. They know that all existing power structures are involved in this program of global genocide, and that government exists nowadays solely to complete the genocide. And that, of course, there is absolutely no justification, moral or legal, for committing genocide. Yet every structure, you know, all three levels of government and the international structure, the UN, and its agencies, as well as our religious authorities, are fully involved in the global genocide. This is why they exist. They exist solely to complete the genocide. Everything else that they do is for the eyes, for maintaining the illusion. This is a completely unprecedented situation in human history, and it is not going to end well. This is not going to end well. Also, because you see, I have been here trying to talk sense to the Vatican, which is supposed to be, you know, the Christendom's moral authority, and you cannot argue with these people. These people are crazy. They are hell-bent on genocide. These are eugenicists. They are, they don't want to hear anything else. They just exist to complete the global genocide. And that is what we can expect from the highest moral authority of Christendom. You can imagine what we can expect from the existing secular power structures. Absolutely nothing except more genocide. That's what we can expect. And this is not going to end up well. I succeeded in 2014 to convince, through threats, by the way, to convince the Western world to eliminate chemical methods of population control. And the process has started, but they're dragging their feet. However, they have replaced them with biological methods. So, which is why, as they remove these endocrine disruptors, these depopulation poisons from the system, which is going to take at least 3 more years.
Talk about those more. Explain to people what those are, endocrine disruptors. Explain to people, you know, not so scientific.
Well, let's
so
just
they
tell them what they are. They're depopulation poisons. They attack they subvert fertility, or they subvert our immune system, because that's how you control population. You control it from the front end of life by preventing birth, or from the back end of life by accelerating death. So they're doing both. In countries that are advanced along the demographic transition, the onus is on accelerating death. In countries that have just started along the process of population control, the onus is on causing sterility. But throughout this demographic transition, which lasts, you know, anywhere from 50 to 100 years, this is a multi-generational program, they do both. They cause sterility, and they cause morbidity. So these, you know, this is a fancy name, endocrine disruptors, because they damage the endocrine system, which regulates every function in the human body, from reproduction to metabolism to and so on. They are just, you know, I call them depopulation poisons, and it's probably best that people refer to them as such rather than use the euphemism used by the system, endocrine disruptors, which is a technical term that hides the reality.
All these diseases that everybody's getting now all of a sudden, you know, diabetes, you know, cancer, heart disease, they're all caused from this, isn't it? Aren't they?
Yes, they are all. These illnesses did not exist, including cancer. They did not exist prior to 1945. It was very rare cancer, and in previous centuries was completely non-existent, because scientists have been analyzing mummies and so on to see if they could find cancer cells. And they can't. They cancer did not exist. Mm. Cancer is a disease created by this program of population control. As they whack us, as they attack our bodies with these depopulation poisons, they're causing this damage in our immune system. They're damaging, systematically damaging our immune system to propel us faster into our deaths. Why?
Wait, well, and then how much of these poisons are in
our food? We would live to be over 90 years. The average lifespan would be around 90, perhaps 100 years. And
right.
Just imagine, we are dependent on the system up to the age of about 25 when, you know, we're being educated before we take up a functional role in society, a job. And then we work from the age of 25 to the age of 65, that's 40 years. And then if we were to stay alive until the age of 90 or 100, that means that the government would have to support us in retirement for another 35 years, 25 to 35 years. So all in all, we would be dependent on the government for 50 years, while we would have only worked for 40 years. In other words, every human being would be an economic liability. And where is that money going to come from? Right? The society exists because every human being needs to be productive. They have to have a positive balance of productivity. If they allow us to live to the end of our natural lives, to 90 years, we would all become economic liabilities. The system would collapse in on itself, because each and every human being would be an economic burden on the system. So it's just not doable.
Right.
That
well,
is
in this
one
country,
of the
you know, the elderly are working.
Face.
The elderly are having to work to earn money to live on, you know, into their 80s,
yeah.
For God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and back when I was a kid,
during the stage of the demographic transition, when you have inverted population pyramids, in other words, you have too many old people, very, very few young people, and not enough people in between of working age, this is the last stage of the demographic transition. The society is completely unstable, economically unviable, which is why all Western nations are in the red. They are economically on the verge of bankruptcy. And to complete demographic transition would take another 10 to 20 years, depending how fast they're getting rid of the elderly, and then you end up with these population structures that are stable again. That is to say, you know, an acceptable number of elderly 65 and above, a life expectancy that is shortened to what is economically feasible to this socioeconomic system that we have. In other words, they want us dead by the age of 70, and they're doing everything possible to accomplish that. Russia has already done that. Its life expectancy now is 70, and the Western world is well on its track as well, because during this stage, this last stage of the demographic transition, they cannot economically fund a lifespan that is 80 years, an average lifespan of 80 years. So they are trying everything possible to lower all of our lifespans to about 70 years. And they have accomplished that in many countries. It's even lower than that. So my generation, I'm 50 years old, we would be lucky if we lived to be 70. Whereas my parents' generation, they all died, most of them died in their around the age of 80. This is the kind of sacrifice that is being imposed on my generation. We have been spared the tragedy of having to fight in a world war, and so many of us did not die in our early 20s, as our grandfathers have done. But on the other hand, we are going to pay by dying faster and by living, you know, for most of our lives with chronic debilitating illnesses caused by the global depopulation program. And this epidemiologic transition, explosion in the non-communicable chronic diseases such as cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, obesity, and neurodevelopmental illnesses, you know, ADHD in children and autism, Alzheimer's, and early dementia in the elderly, and so on. These are all caused. This is all damage caused by the global depopulation program. All these illnesses would not exist if the global depopulation program did not exist.
Yes, and these people that are getting all these diseases are going broke, you know, benefits in the U.S. are cut and cut and cut. And so a lot of them are taken care of by funneling our tax dollars out for the medical care. But the other ones that had retirement funds and had, you know, income coming in, they're going broke paying for these medical illnesses that were caused from this, the elderly.
Yes.
You know, the cost of medical care in this country is outrageous, and people are going bankrupt and broke trying to cover this. They made them this sick. So the ones that are living, you know, aren't fine either.
No.
You know, they're sickly and they exist.
They started along... You know, when they started this program in 1945, they could not foresee all of these unintended consequences. And now, the damage is done. It cannot be reversed. Yeah. So the best they can do is sort of mitigate, you know, as well as they can possibly manage by, you know, making our deaths as painless as possible, if you want. But there is no going back. I mean, the damage is done. We are already on the rope, and you know, society is barely being kept together. The damage to this generation of politicians has inherited this problem, and you know, they have no choice but to complete the demographic transition. So this is why they're imposing this increased arsenal of population control methods, which now involves not only these 165 endocrine disruptors that are poisoning our food and water system and consumer products, but also GMOs and the pesticides, which is, you know, the method of population control devised specifically for the developing world, where governments could not afford to pay and fund for this chemical program of population control. And they're doing it, you know, from the air through chemtrails, for climate change mitigation, but at the same time to complete the demographic transition in developed countries where there are too many elderly and the system cannot cope with that kind of dependency burdens. You know, you look at the medical system and you realize, and I have demonstrated this through several papers that are now published by the medical community and peer-reviewed, so this is no longer, you know, conspiracy theory. I'm a very well-respected person now in medical circles. I cannot possibly write as many articles as I'm being asked to write. But you look at any aspect of public health nowadays, and it is completely bastardized by the population control prerogative. Let's look at malaria, the program of malaria eradication, for instance, which operates in over 80 countries. In other words, in all of the countries that have yet to complete the demographic transition and all of the African countries that are at the beginning of this program of control population. Well, they're using a drug called artemisinin, and artemisinin was devised by a Chinese pharmaceutical chemist called Yu Yu Tu, who was awarded the 2015 Nobel Prize for Medicine for discovering artemisinin, not because it is an effective therapy against malaria, but because it is an effective fertility suppressant, which is what she was looking for in the first place on behalf of the Chinese government, who was in need of a covert method of sterilization for its burgeoning Chinese populace. And artemisinin was meant from the very beginning to be a sterilizing drug, and which is why it was developed as part of a secret military project by the People's Republic of China in a project called Project 523. Which started during the Cultural Revolution, and has been used ever since. You know, the world now even awarded this chemist, you know, the Nobel Prize for its contribution to the global genocide. And in the same year, 2015, Yu Yu Tu, this Chinese chemist, shared the Nobel Peace Prize with two other scientists. With William C. Campbell and Satoshi Omura, an American and a Japanese, for the discovery of ivermectin. Ivermectin is also a sterilizer in disguise that happens to kill parasitic worms. So, in other words, everything that the system does now, the only people that get rewarded now by the system, whether with you know research funds or with prizes and accolades and so on, is are the people who are contributing to the global genocide. if you do not contribute to the global genocide, you're not going to be acknowledged or rewarded. On the contrary, this is why we see doctors that find cures for cancer, find cures, you know, for anything that saves lives. They are being immediately suppressed. Their careers are destroyed. Their funding is cut off, and so on. Why? The onus is on eliminating population, on killing as many people as possible and sterilizing as many people as possible, not on saving lives. Why? The global population, okay, cannot be allowed to double from 7 billion to 14 billion, which is what would happen in less than 30 years were it not subjected to these breaks on fertility and on longevity. We would all, the entire society would collapse. There's no way in hell that we can build as many cities as we have in the past 20,000 years in just 30 years to accommodate a doubling of the population. Not only are there no resources available, even if there were resources available, we would completely devastate the planet environmentally. There'd be absolutely nothing left at the end of it except a denuded planet. So this is why the onus now is on killing and sterilizing as many people as possible. That is the sole reason for existence. It is the only solution to our survival on this planet. No, of course this is such a brutal reality that most people can understand it intellectually, but they cannot process it emotionally. It's too painful.
Right, they won't accept it. They won't accept it. And that was when I was reading the opening to have you come on, how I said when Richie Allen asked you that show, when you finally realized this was true, this was all happening, did you ever think maybe you're losing your mind? Boy, it took me a long time to accept that this is true and accept that I have to accept it. You know, horrible.
Yes. The people who are not strong enough to accept this and to take evasive action to protect their families, because you have to have intimate knowledge of the methodology used to subvert fertility and increase morbidity, they will not survive into the next generations. They will be eliminated off the face of this planet. So, you know, I mean, I can lead a horse to the water, but I cannot force it to drink. So perhaps this is the way it should be. I mean, the weak are not going to survive. This is only for the future belongs to people who are mentally strong enough to accept this reality and to take evasive action. Most people are not capable of doing that. They're not emotionally capable of doing that. They're not even emotionally capable of running their own lives, let alone of dealing and understanding geopolitical problems and
protecting
environmental
their children
objectives
and grandchildren.
Are planetary.
You know, that's the part that I can't grasp, you know, the people my age, that they won't accept this and realize that if they don't rise up and stop this, that their children have no future generation, their grandchildren. They're not
the only government
of them
does this
even.
Right. Yeah. The only government that does this right is the Chinese government, and the second correctness method of correctly approaching this is done by the Indian government, which uses involuntary surgical sterilization, but it does not damage, you know, people's health through covert chemical and biological methods. And the Chinese, of course, they're doing it through legislation. That's the only way to proceed. But, you know, Western society is hypocritical. They want to maintain a facade of democracy, which doesn't exist, and of civil liberties and human rights, which are, you know, all of them are complete fiction. And of the rule of law, which of course has been circumvented and bypassed by this program, which is killing us all right, left and center, and sickening us. And because we have, you know, the hypocrites in the Vatican and in our highest religious authorities who are hell bent on, you know, preserving the power of the Church and their doctrine of moral infallibility, and they're willing to sacrifice all of us for this.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on again, Kevin. And I hope you'll come on again because you are the best expert on this topic. Thank you so much.
You're very very welcome. I'll be more than happy to come again anytime. Just let me know.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, people, I hope you learned a lot today. I hope that we got the word out and woke some of you up. People need to wake up. We need to save ourselves. We'll turn in next week. Have a good week. Thank you. Goodbye.